Travers Cosgrove, reel 10. So, I mean, probably when you were home on leave, you might have had contact with or heard about conscientious objectors or profiteers or black marketeers or whatever. What was your attitude to them? There's several categories of people.
Yes, well... I didn't get boil over about any of these. We had no time for conscientious objectors. I don't think really we had time to get hit up about these issues, and I really couldn't give you and it's something which you just didn't have time to take aboard.
No. I mean, you told me that you had no direct contact with American troops. Did you have any direct contact with any other Allied troops?
I was... one of my brother officers was very friendly with the Belgian engineer officer. There was only a platoon, I think, of Belgian engineers with their brigade, with this Peter Weigel, I'm always pleased to see this chap. I didn't meet any French sappers. When I was at the training establishment, yes, we would occasionally meet other countries for training courses, but that was a post-war situation.
Yeah.
I remember a Polish sergeant, I made something of him, but no, I didn't really meet sappers from other countries.
What was the sort of your opinion and your men's opinion of the German soldier?
Well, he was a hard nut to crack. We thought he fought fairly. If you try to put it in simple, very simple words. You know, yes, I took a few prisoners.
Can you remember an occasion when you did take a prisoner?
Oh, yes. I told you about this anti-tank ditch north of Wies. Well, we were several days getting across this, some came and wanted me to take them prisoner, but you look after your wounded colleague and back where you were. And I told the medical officer of the infantry regiment that they were there. He says, "Yes, thank you. We look after our own first." Another time, yes, two or three of them had burst through our lines at the hands, so I ushered them in the right direction. Conducted them for a mile or so, and then one of them pointed down on the ground and said, "There's a revolver." So, he wanted to be sure that nobody thought he'd been carrying it. We didn't really have a great deal of contact with them.
Did you think you were fighting Germany or fighting Nazism? Was it the Nazis or the Germans?
No. It was the Germans.
Right. So really more sort of thinking behind the First War.
Yes.
Rather than, now we think of the Second World War, Nazism hit very much, don't we?
Yes, yes, of course, but they followed him, so they were going to have to face the consequences of doing so. Yes, no, I don't think we thought we were fighting Nazis, and we were fighting the Germans. Mm. Now, I'm like, you know, I've got, you know, inherited this point of view.
So did you have any contact with any other Axis troops?
No. We met some Russians who had been prisoners in the Ruhr at the end of the war. They were a bit naughty, but we didn't do anything to hinder them.
The techniques that you were teaching at Gnocca, I mean, were these exactly the same as you'd been taught back in the UK, or had you learnt a lot?
I've probably learnt a lot, which was probably hard to put into words, mm. better than the training manuals. Mm. Yes, I'd seen things fly together rather than be put together left right sort of tempo. I probably set higher standards than would have been set at Ripon or Chatham or wherever it was.
How much of the particular training that you'd had before you left the UK do you think was there any bits that you could identify as extremely worthwhile? And gosh, I'm glad they told us that, you know, that was a good trick, and we really used that a lot. Perhaps more generally, was the training you got so appropriate for the job you had to do?
Well, I think that's a very difficult question, really, to try and get at what you're aiming at. But if you hadn't been taught all these things, you would have fallen down much more often. So I think you were well armed to meet the situation. After all, the man who set that training had no idea what we were going to meet.
I
think it was adequate.
For most occasions,
yes.
Is there anything that you wish you had been trained that you perhaps had to learn along the way?
When I was before I went to Ottawa at Ottawa, I always felt that I didn't know enough about field works because I hadn't done it. We'd had about 2 days on it, and you know, then we got to something else. And I often asked when we were marking time between courses, could we do field works? And no, you can't. Well, because it would require tutors and people who did know before let us loose with things that we could hurt ourselves with. So we didn't get the chance to learn to get an extra go at that chapter. I felt I was a bit weak on that. I can't identify.
So, do you think the men that you were responsible for, do you think they had good treatment from the British Army all the way?
Well, they all had the same. I suppose I have to say yes. There will have been some people, not necessarily mine, but some people who were led to disaster, not necessarily. I mean, after all, that's what the enemy is trying to do, isn't it? I don't think soldiers can really. They had to be soldiers, and that's it.
So you were going to tell us that you remember the name of the one of your platoon who was killed when there was the explosion and he hadn't got his tin.
Dawes.
Right.
He was. Don't think he was my platoon, but it, Dawes. Yes.
Right, okay, that's on record then. Did you ever have to write letters of condolence to relatives?
I told you about this Lance Corporal Akers who got who took shelter in a dugout and got a direct hit. I never did write letters of condolences. I would after the war if I came across the person.
Would someone else have written?
I don't know, and I don't suppose. The army formally would done, of course. Mm. The CO, the officer, Major Carter, would have, to an NCO or officer. Mm. I don't know that he would have done for the sapper. Mm. But there weren't many.
Now, you must have met and dealt and worked with many, many officers, junior and senior, in your time in the army. Which ones do you remember with sort of some admiration, you know, that you found a bit of an inspiration at the time?
Well, because I knew them so well, obviously those with whom I went to war. I did meet, and some of those with whom I was preparing to go to war, who might have been subsequently posted away from us, some of whom I've met since. One or two whom I did not think were super good, even if I have come across them since. I think as you, if you saw a man for all his worth, you had great respect for him. But some just didn't have the necessary qualities of leadership to sustain your willingness to trust in them. Trust isn't the right word. Be inspired by them.
Because there must have been some senior officers who'd been in the First War.
No. They certainly weren't in a mobilised division.
Right. Yes.
They were there in the territorial unit at the beginning of the war, but they would have been found niches out of the way. Yet they were too valuable to lose, but no, they wouldn't have been in a mobilised division after Dunkirk.
Mm. Are you glad that you were part of the war, or do you think it's had a cost?
Well, of course it's had a cost, but yes, I'm much happier to be able to share with the British Legion. I'm not a member of the British Legion, but to be able to share with them and march with them, don't do it now, on Remembrance Day, than to have been merely an onlooker. This summer, I heard in the church when we got up to Scotland that the minister that very day was going to join with the British Royal British Legion and hold a little service at those churches where there was a memorial but no longer had a congregation. And I made a point of going to the one nearest where we lived.
Yeah.
So yes, I think that perhaps explains it. And they, in return, they invited me to come to their remembrance Sunday service this couple of months' time, so I intend to try.
Yeah. What do you think were the mental effects of the war on you? I think it's affected the way you can cope with things or the way you think?
Well, you know, you can do anything if you really try. But you have to recognise that you will get exhausted. And you'd be better not to get exhausted. So that's put it fairly, fairly bluntly, yes. Tear into anything. But you must know how you're going to stop.
And did the war have any physical effects on you, either at the time or now?
Well, it has done. It disrupted my sleeping habits and the sort of thing, nervous energy available, yes.
Do you still get disrupted sleep?
Is that flashbacks? No, it's not flashbacks. No. It can be, yes. Occasionally you get something that you rather not remember, you do. But that's quite unusual. Mm. I suppose there was one last night that I thought of something that I wanted to tell you.
Right, yes. So, what else would you like to tell me about? I'm sure as soon as I've gone, you'll think of something.
Well, I have written a dozen articles which are in writing with your colleagues at the Imperial War Museum.
What are the subjects of those, roughly?
I've touched on virtually all of them. But you ought to link the two together. I haven't got an index of them immediately to hand, but
they'll be under your name. They
should be under my name, and
they will be.
And I have the letter heading, but I don't think it tells you anything. Wilkinson. Mr. Wilkinson, but
obviously different department.
I have written those things. They obviously I thought longer about them than I've been able to think about.
Returning to civilian life, how easy was that? Because you've been in a fair time, haven't you?
Well, I think it was very easy.
Did you go back to work for the same company?
After a few months, yes, I worked, because my mother died very soon after I got back. I asked if I could work in London near and stay at Wickham with my father for a while. So I didn't meet the same people until I got north again in June or something like that. So, but other than that, I did go back to work with the same people, and then that was easier.
Because some of others of them have been away, have they? So
very few. They were mostly older people. Yes, there obviously were some that happened.
So you found it fairly easy to settle back into a civilian life?
Well,
or did you miss the routine?
Well, of course I missed the comradeship. And it was only, but you did learn to appreciate the people with whom you could make common ground, and you sorted out the colleagues who weren't sincere.
Yes.
And who were just a nuisance to you, however senior. Yes, you made perhaps heightened your selection process of your friends and colleagues. Yes.
Do you think the army or the government or whoever you want to blame has been fair to soldiers on pensions and disability pensions and so on.
Well, I invested my gratuity in buying back into my civilian pension, and I invested a gratuity pension in buying a professional life membership of a institution of civil engineers. I think they're very wise investments. So I was glad to have that money at a time when I had none to do that. So I have no complaints.
What did you spend the rest of your working life doing?
I was a railway man, a civil engineer for 7 or 8 years, and then into industrial engineering, then into freight handling, all for the railways. Then when beaching started, things out again, well, I wasn't needed, so I went back up to Scotland and started holiday cottages. I had an adequate pension from the railway, and holiday cottages kept me out of mischief. Didn't really earn any money, but it kept me out of mischief.
Right, excellent. I think we've come to the end of our story, unless there's something else you'd like to add.
Osnabrück. Did I tell you that Osnabrück was a place where... I did Osnabrück and Wraith and the town, Rushall Bridge. Yes, I've told you that already.
That's right, yes.
No, I think... We obviously have got gaps in it, but I think we've done pretty well, actually.
Something else you want to express at the moment. Right. Well, thank you very much indeed. Travers Cosgrove. Get it right in the end. Travers Cosgrove. That's the end of Reel 10. Thank you very much.
Right.